Sie hören eine Veranstaltung der Leipziger Buchmesse. Für die Inhalte ist die Leipziger Buchmesse nicht verantwortlich. Viel Spaß beim Hören.
Wir machen es mit den beiden Ständermikros. Ich brauche nachher ein freies Mikro, damit wir zeichnen.
Test. Ah, oh, ui. Hallo. Hallöchen. Hallali. Was es eben noch so Begrüßungen gibt. Habt ihr euch her verirrt oder seid ihr absichtlich hergekommen? Absichtlich. Ich hatte ja gestern das Vergnügen, hier über die Comic-Historie von Doctor Who zu reden. Ich erkenne ein, zwei Gesichter wieder, die gestern da waren. Ich kann also nicht so erschreckend gewesen sein, dass ihr dann überhaupt nicht mehr zurückgefunden habt. Im Prinzip knüpfen wir nahtlos an das von gestern an. Und zwar geht es auch um die Doctor Who Comics, unter anderem um die Doctor Who Comics. Ich habe nämlich heute einen Zeichner mit hergebracht, der auch an den Doctor Who Comics mitgearbeitet hat, nicht nur. Und mit ihm werde ich mich gleich unterhalten über Doctor Who, über das, was er sonst noch gemacht hat. Und am Ende werden wir auch ein wenig Live-Zeichnen machen. Also alles, was man so für ein schönes Panel braucht. Und am Ende des Panels, das wird so, ich schätze mal, starke 30 Minuten dauern, werden wir dann hier auf der Bühne auch noch die Signierstunde vollenden, weil eigentlich wäre jetzt drüben beim Signieren, ich habe ihn rübergeholt und dann, wer dann Interesse hat, kann hier direkt quasi vor Ort sich was signieren lassen. Also wir integrieren das quasi. Und eventuell kriegen wir sogar auch noch ein Bild. Ich habe gar nicht viel zu zeigen, aber das Wenige, was ich zeigen wollte, versuche ich dann auch zu zeigen. Weil ich habe ihn ja hier. Also ich möchte ihn euch vorstellen namentlich und es wäre ganz reizvoll, wenn ihr auch dann auch applaudiert. Wir haben hier an meiner Seite Roger Langridge. Hallo Roger.
Hallo.
Roger kommt aus Brexitland und I know you're a big fan of the Brexit.
Oh, yes. Don't make me start.
So, let's test your microphone.
Hello.
Yeah. All right. So, that's the reason why we do it in English. Also, ich würde das Interview mit ihm in Englisch führen. Ist jemand im Publikum, der absolut keine Ahnung und ganz grundsätzlich des Englischen so fremd ist, dass er kein Wort verstehen würde, den bitte ich jetzt ohne Scheu die Hand zu heben, damit wir ihn abführen lassen können. Aha, dann scheint ich halte es simpel. Also ich versuche es so einfach wie möglich zu halten, damit auch ich mitkomme. Also wird schon alles funktionieren. Alright, we can do this interview in English. They all know the language. So the main reason why we're here is because you're an artist and this is a comic con, so this is very fitting.
Yes.
So you have done a lot of stuff. For us, most important is you are the artist of our variant cover of the actual Doctor Who. This is specially made for here. Also das ist limitiertes Variant, das es nur hier auf der Messe gibt. Limitiert auf 222 Stück. Und dafür hat das Cover kreiert. But before we come back to Doctor Who, you have done a lot of stuff.
Because I'm very old.
Oh, well, I'm very old too, and I haven't done so much than you. Well, also I cannot draw. So what are the main things you have worked for?
I think what I'm best known for is probably the Muppet Show comics.
Muppet Show comics.
Put me on the map to a lot of people. Made me a known name to them. I've also worked on Popeye, which a lot of people know me for, and Thor the Mighty Avenger. Thor.
Yeah, yes. The German version of
yes.
Thor.
Get
yeah.
it right. Those are the things that most people know me for. I've also worked on a lot of my own characters over the years, and I've worked in the sort of more underground, independent end of the American comics market. And a fair bit of Doctor Who in Britain as well for Doctor Who magazine.
Yeah. So let's stay with for me the most important thing of these in this room, the Muppets comics. When did you do that?
I think the first Muppet work I did was around 2008-2009. That was for Disney Adventures magazine. They commissioned a Muppet story that was not on model. It wasn't meant to look exactly like the Muppets. It was meant to look a bit sort of undergroundy and a bit strange. And they commissioned, I think, 10 or 12 pages of that and printed one of them, and then the magazine was cancelled. So I thought that was the end of me and the Muppets. But I think the pages that I had drawn must have been circulating behind the scenes with Disney, because when Boom Studios in the US got the rights to publish a lot of Disney titles, they also had the rights to do the Muppets. And they asked me then if I would be interested in taking that on. And I did 2 years worth of Muppets stuff from that point.
So, kann man uns eigentlich gut hören? Also, das ist hier von der Bühne aus immer so ein bisschen schwierig einzuschätzen, ja? The Muppets. It's strange. How does it work to... Well, they're puppets anyway, so how do you transfer them into a comic book?
I tried to think in terms of comics when I was working on it, rather than try to make them like puppets. I tried to take advantage of the fact that it was the comics medium, so I tried to play with different things that you could do on the page. I often did full page things where things were happening all over the place, which you couldn't do on a television screen. And I tried to compensate for the fact that you didn't hear their voices by making them more expressive as characters, because so much of their personality comes through the voices. Otherwise, they're just, you know, felt and ping pong balls. So I felt I had to compensate for the fact that you couldn't hear the voices by making them more expressive as cartoon characters. And I think I got away with it. Not everybody liked the way I did it, but I think most people did.
So, is the last question to the Muppets? Is the humor in the Muppets? Is this a subversive humor?
Well, it's always worked on multiple levels. There were always jokes that were really obvious for very young children, and there were jokes that were a lot more subtle and relationship stuff between, for example, Miss Piggy and Kermit that would have gone over the heads of children but which adults could appreciate. So I tried to maintain that when I was writing these stories. I tried to build in things that an adult could enjoy as well as things that a child could enjoy.
By the way, I heard Kermit and Miss Piggy split up. So what's their official relationship at the moment?
They don't call me anymore. Took me off speed dial, so...
All right. So, the other thing is, it's a classic. It's Popeye.
Yes.
Popeye in Germany was very big when I was young. So, I think most of the people today do not even know the sailor anymore. But it got a comic revival, I think, 2 years ago by... IDW?
A little bit more than 2 years ago, I think. I was working on that at the same time I was working on The Muppets. So, I forget the exact date, but it's a few years ago now that they started doing that.
Yeah.
They're still publishing it, but it's reprints now. They don't do new material anymore.
All right. Because I saw it, when they restarted it, it was very retro-styled.
Yes. They had a guy... whose name escapes me for the moment, but he was very, very good at drawing the E.C. Segar style, almost line for line, so he was their first choice as the artist. Unfortunately, he was extremely slow, so they had to get their artists in to do the other issues, including me at a couple of points. I got to draw a couple, which was, for me, a dream come true, because the E.C. Segar original comic strips are a huge, huge influence on my own cartooning. So,
well, that brings us the retro style brings us to the main theme of this stage, Doctor Who. You have when have you started for the Doctor Who magazine to work as a comic book artist?
That would be for the 35th. Anniversary of the show. They did a 35th anniversary story, which was my first story. So that would have been in, I suppose, 96. Must have been 96, yes. 98. Can't count.
Well, you can
63 plus 35 is 98,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, all right.
There we go.
So, wow. Woo,
hurrah. But that was, that story was really throwing me in the deep end because it featured all, up to that point, eight doctors, plus all of the monsters and all of the villains. All in one story. And I'd watched Doctor Who as a child during the Tom Baker era and the John Pertwee era, but I hadn't really kept up with it. So it was really throwing me in the deep end. I had, and this is pre-internet as far as their working practices were concerned. So I couldn't just look up the reference on the internet. They sent me essentially a coffin-sized box full of old magazines and videotapes, and I had to sort of do all this very hasty research to get all the details right. Because Doctor Who fans are very, very keen on getting all the details
absolutely,
right.
Absolutely, yeah.
You can't get it wrong. So, yeah.
So, did they hook you to a specific doctor?
Well, the current doctor at the time that I started was Paul McGann.
Yeah.
Both the shortest and longest serving doctors simultaneously, because he only appeared in one episode, but he was there for years as the official doctor. So I did quite a few Paul McGann stories. I didn't do any Ninth Doctor stories, but I've done a couple of Tenth Doctor, one 11th and one 12th Doctor story. So, and in one of the 11th Doctor story, no, one of the Tenth Doctor stories I did, there was a flashback to the Ninth Doctor, so I got to draw him as well. So I've done all the Doctors in the comics at one point or another.
Yes.
Including John Hurt, actually, because I did Jim Henson's Storyteller, which featured John Hurt. So I've drawn him in comics as well.
So all of the Doctors in one person. Actually, it's always in one person. My question is, your style is very cartoony.
Yes.
In a special way. It is, when we talk about the prisoners of time, your story is like really, really different from all the other stories.
Yes.
in that book. Very cartoony. But still, it works out pretty, pretty good. And also, I have to tell, there are a lot of different styles within the Doctor Who magazine and with the Doctor Who comic books. Is this a kind of principle they work with the Doctor Who? Will not stand up alone.
I can't speak for the IDW or Titan versions, the American market versions so much, but the Doctor Who magazine guiding philosophy, if you like, tends to be to have a realistic style as their sort of baseline, and then every so often diverge from that for a change of pace and sort of a palate cleanser, and that's when they get me in to do sort of some of the more offbeat ones, and then they go back to the more realistic style by people like Mike Collins or Martin Geraghty. Who are sort of their main artists.
So in the magazine, how big is the comic part they're in?
Currently it's 12 pages.
12 pages.
Every month. It used to be 7 pages when I started, but they've as the show came back and it became more popular and the sales increased, they could afford to expand the comic section because that's the most expensive part of the magazine to produce. And so now it's up to 12, yes.
So it is compared with an American comic book, it's not so much of a comic. Is it hard to keep track of the storyline then?
I don't think so, because I think Doctor Who viewers, as a rule, are used to, certainly the readers of Doctor Who magazine, by and large, are familiar enough with the old show that they're used to cliffhangers. They like to have the to be continued bit. And the 12 pages that they do have are really crammed. They don't do decompressed storytelling like they do in current Marvel comics. It's very, very dense. The lettering's... I do the lettering on the comic strip. I've been doing that for 15 years. And the lettering size that I have to use on the strip is quite a bit smaller than I would on any other comic because there is really quite a lot of story to get through. It's usually a very satisfying chunk of story, even in 12 pages.
How hard is it to cope with the BBC? I think you told me the fans are keen on any detail of a doctor, but the BBC must be even worse on that.
Well, I don't know. I think Doctor Who magazine, because they have had such a long relationship with the property, and because the people who are currently the producers of the show have been reading the magazine since they were children and trust it, they get away with a lot. They don't have to send the artwork to be approved by the BBC. What they did was they had to get the likenesses of the main actors approved on model sheets. But once those were approved, they could do what they liked. And they essentially don't... I think the stories have to be approved, but the artwork, the final artwork, doesn't. It's approved at the plot stage, I think. Mm. After that, they've got free rein. But they trust it, you know. And Stephen Moffat is always there at the anniversary events for the magazine. He's always there as one of the fans, essentially.
How much is the conversation? How much do you talk to the movie people? Do you talk to them at all? Have you contact to like Moffat? Do you have contact to some of the show designers, or is?
I don't know how official it is. I think that they're fortunate with Doctor Who magazine at the moment in that one of the regular comic artists, Mike Collins, is also the storyboard artist for the show. So, I think they have quite good communication with Stephen Moffat. I personally am not involved with any of that because it's all at a remove from what I do. But I'm quite friendly with Scott Gray, who's the editor of the comic strip.
Yeah.
And he sort of tells me that's kind of how it works.
Well, that's what I heard, that especially with the new comic books, the writers have the most contact with the show people because these stories...
They have to coordinate things.
So I think that's why the new stories are very, very... well transport the sense of the TV series. It's very close to the TV series from the feeling. Do you watch the TV series at the moment?
Yes, I've been... as I say, I watched it as a kid when Tom Baker was the Doctor, and then I sort of drifted off when Peter Davison came along because they stopped doing jokes. But once Christopher Eccleston relaunched the series, Russell T. Davis and Christopher Eccleston and... the 2005, I think it was, relaunch. I've not missed an episode since then. And my kids are right into it as well. In fact, my son is more into Doctor Who than I am. He knows... He's been watching classic series. He knows it chapter and verse. I can't keep up with him.
Yeah. So actually, I have to say, I'm a big fan of Peter Capaldi. So
yes, he's great.
Do you have a favorite Doctor? Well, probably the one you have done the most drawings about, but I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I really enjoy drawing Capaldi. He's great fun. I think the older Doctors are more fun to draw because they've got more lines and crags and things. There's more to play with. Matt Smith was a nightmare when I first started drawing him. There's just nothing there. He didn't even have eyebrows, you know. I think I've got the hang of him now, but that's because he sort of matured as the show went on and there were a little bit more to play with. I enjoy drawing them all, really. I never quite got the hang of Eccleston, because I've drawn him so little. But the others I've had a little bit more practice, and yeah.
So do you think the time has finally come for a female Doctor?
I think so, yeah. I don't see why not. I mean, people have been throwing a few names around of well-respected British actors.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm thinking, yeah, that could work. That sounds great.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's been established in the context of the narrative of the show that that's a possibility because they've had the Master regenerate into a woman and one of the main Time Lord chappies become a woman. So it's... It all depends on the actor, really.
Yeah.
If the right actor comes along, then it'll
work. I actually would love to see Tilda Swinton as a Doctor.
That could work, yes.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Well, so let's go back to The Prisoners of Time. this is one of these very nice projects we put into two books. Second book is now out here for the con, and you did the variant cover. You see here the original cover and then the variant cover, and you're in the middle of it. So I like the project because it's like 11 doctors in one story with each chapter for one doctor, and then they all come together in the end. And a lot of space for the companions.
Yes.
Actually, a lot of people say the best thing or that what makes the Doctor Who feeling are the companions.
I think so, yeah. The companion is supposed to be, I suppose, a surrogate for the viewer. So you're seeing the Doctor through somebody else's eyes because he is an alien. You're supposed to see him at a little bit of a remove, I think. So if you've got the companion as your stand-in, essentially, that makes that relationship easier to understand, I think.
You did, I'm not sure which chapter you did in this book. Oh, yeah, here,
I think it's
here it is. So your chapter was the Eighth Doctor. So it's chapter 8-2.
Yes. I got the Eighth Doctor because I think they were trying to get people who had been associated with the character in the comic strip, you know, with that particular Doctor in the comic strip in the past, whenever they could. And I'd done a few Eighth Doctor stories, and IDW knew my phone number, essentially. So,
yeah. So I like the chapter very much. As I said, it is different to all the other chapters because of your cartoonish style, but somehow it fits perfectly in.
Yeah, I would have liked to have done it a little bit more detailed, but the deadline I was given was very, very short, so I had to take a lot of shortcuts. But I think it worked out. I think it worked.
So, but in the end, the day more or less is saved by the one companion I like most. It's Frobisher. And last year I had the really, really great joy to meet John Ridgway.
Oh, yes.
And he was great. He's like you, a British gentleman.
So, I'm not British. I'm a stand-in.
Okay. Yeah. But he was really great, and he was the fans really loved him for inventing or co-inventing a Frobisher. So yeah. he was asked a lot of doing Frobisher, and it was really, really cool. What do
well,
you
again, that's I think Frobisher is another really good example of using the comic as a chance to do things that you couldn't do on television.
Yes, probably today you could, but
yeah,
not,
probably today you could.
Yeah. But he also made it to the audio play. So
yes.
That's what I thought was very, very interesting. What do you think in general about this kind of companion?
Well, I like it when they take advantage of the fact that it's a comic. Some of my favorite stories have been things that you couldn't possibly have done on television. During the 10th Doctor era, there was a story that Rob Davis drew where they essentially did Will Eisner's spirit because the 10th Doctor had this blue suit and red tie. It was just a question of putting a hat on him, essentially, and he was a spirit. And that was great fun. I mean, I imagine most of the Doctor Who readers didn't know anything about the spirit, but it was fun for us comic nerds who were working on the strip. Yeah. I even did the lettering in the same style as the Will Eisner lettering.
Yeah. All right. We now had 30 minutes of talking, so and now it's the time for drawing. Time for drawing. The problem is a little bit we have a board here, and we have a pen here, but we do not have a camera that shows it to the audience. So, you have to draw something and then step aside a little bit to show it. But I think it will work out. And after the drawing, we do a signing here on stage for those who are interested in. But before we start with the drawing, I probably will ask the audience if there are some questions we can do before, some Q&As. So what I need now is the cordless microphone. So, das funktioniert auch, sehr schön. So, gibt es denn hier drin irgendwelche Fragen? Ich sehe schon da hinten einen erhobenen Schallschraubenzieher, sehr gut. Hallöchen, aber die Ehre. Ja. Ja, hier stehen komische Dinge einfach rum. Das ist, Hallöchen.
What is your favorite and what is your least favorite villain to draw?
Favorite? Well, you can't beat a good Dalek, can you? my art style lends itself to taking liberties, so the Daleks are quite fun for me. I was talking to, who was it? Martin Geraghty, about drawing Daleks, and he hates drawing Daleks because he has to get it right, you know. And to him, it's just like drawing cars. It's all straight lines and, you know, ruling lines and curves and things. But for me, I can do what I like. I used to do these illustrations in the magazine to accompany the review section. And I could take even more liberties that way. There was one time I drew a Dalek with eyebrows, and, you know, that was fine. I didn't care. That was great. So that's fun. Least favorite? Sontarans are tricky. There's only so much character you can give a potato. It's, yeah.
You can always put a helmet on them. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much. Weitere Fragen? Gibt es noch weit? Oh, da vorne. Und hier an der Seite. Ich fange mal hier und komme dann rüber zu dir.
In the TV show, of course, the music also plays a big role. Do you ever get inspired by that or draw while listening to the soundtrack?
Sorry, I don't think I heard the question, sorry.
In the TV show, of course, the music also plays a big role. Do you ever get inspired by that or draw while listening to the soundtrack? Or?
Yes, I actually have the soundtrack albums that Murray Gold did, and I listen to them sometimes when I'm working, yeah. It's definitely good for putting you in the right mood, absolutely, yeah. And it's wonderful music.
Okay, danke schön. All right, yes.
Did you work with a TV show on set, or are you only drawing the comic?
Again, I didn't quite hear the...
I got it. The question was if you worked with a TV show or only drawing for the comic books.
Oh, no, I've never had anything to do with the TV show. Everything's at a considerable remove from the actual show. But as I say, Mike Collins, who often draws the strip, is the storyboard artist. I think he's the main link between the two. Although some of the comic writers have gone on to write for the show, and vice versa. Rob Shearman wrote for the comic as well as the show. There's been a bit of crossover that way.
Also, das ist etwas, was ich vorher schon mal kurz angedeutet habe. Vor allem auf Seite der Autoren ist die Verbindung zwischen Comic und der TV-Serie sehr viel stärker, insbesondere heute, da tauschen die sich regelmäßig aus. Teilweise sind sogar dieselben Personen, die sowohl für Comic als auch für die TV-Show schreiben, während es bei den Künstlern, speziell den Comic-Künstlern so ist, dass sie mit dem Design der Show vergleichsweise wenig zu tun haben. Das war aber tatsächlich auch schon immer so, das ist historisch schon immer so gewesen, die Künstler haben relativ autonom gearbeitet, was ihnen auch die Möglichkeit gegeben hat, in den Comics andere Dinge darzustellen als in der TV-Show, die da auch gar nicht möglich wären. Have you ever met one of the doctors, of the actors?
The actors, no. No, I've met really some
not.
Of the writers. I've met some of the writers.
Some writers, okay.
Yeah.
Haben wir noch weitere Fragen? Da hätten wir noch eine Frage.
What was the chapter you had most fun drawing?
Again, I couldn't.
The question was what chapter you had the most fun of drawing.
Oh, okay.
Ist jetzt die Frage, beziehst du dich auf die Prisoners of Time oder worauf beziehst du dich? Generell, just in general.
Yes, there was a story that hardly had the Doctor in it at all, written by Jonathan Morris, called Death to the Doctor. It was basically a whole lot of villains who'd been made up specifically for that story, essentially killing one another off throughout the story. That was great fun because, you know, I could make up. I did all the, my own character designs. I didn't have to worry about what anybody, whether anybody was looking exactly like they did on the show or not. I could just do what I liked, apart from the last page when I had to actually draw the Doctor and Martha.
Okay, wenn noch eine Frage ist, dann machen wir die noch. Ansonsten gehen wir jetzt zum Zeichnen über. Oh, da drüben. Bitte schön.
Who's your favorite female companion?
Favorite female companion? Donna Noble, I think. Yeah. She'd be the most fun to be around.
Dankeschön für die Frage. Noch jemand? Okay. Then we do the drawing. Vorausgeschickt sage ich noch das. Wir machen es generell so, dass Sachen, die auf der Bühne gezeichnet werden, werden entweder direkt zu einem guten Zweck versteigert, das machen wir jetzt hier in Leipzig gerade nicht, oder aber online verlost in den Tagen nach der Messe. Es nutzt also nichts zu sagen, hey, ich will die Zeichnung haben, aber ihr könnt dann online gehen bei Panini auf Facebook meistens, da wird es dann irgendwann eingestellt und da gibt es dann so gewisse kleine Regeln. Let's see if we probably can go to the backside of this, because then it is not with plates. Yeah. Oh no, we have to. No, this is. okay. Where's the second one? It's not high tech, it's low tech, but very difficult. So no, yeah, this now should work. Yeah. All right. You like Daleks? Will you start with a Dalek? Is there something specific difficult on a Dalek?
Remembering all the bits, yeah.
When I yesterday helped the panel here, I was talking about the history of the Doctor Who comic books, and there was one fact that I found very interesting, that in the beginning they had not the rights in the comics to do the Daleks. So what they invented has been the trots. Have you ever heard about the trots?
I haven't heard about those. I'm aware that there's rights difficulties because Terry Nation's estate owns the Daleks. So every time they use the Daleks in the strip, they have to get separate permission.
Really?
Yeah, it's a complicated thing.
Yeah, the Daleks seem to be very, very difficult in the rights. But the trots have been like robots on very, very, it looked strange. It was completely strange, but they invented them because they couldn't use the Daleks. Exterminate. All right, Dalek. Please sign it because we will raffle it on the internet later. And we just put this over. Yeah. Now something you want to draw.
Okay. I'll have a go at a doctor. Any particular favorites?
Welchen Doktor? Tennant. Tennant. Okay. Tennant. Seltsamerweise auch der sich im Comic am besten verkauft.
It's strangely the one that sells best in the comics.
Yes, I've heard that.
Here's the guy with the big eye, ears. And please sign. And now, finally, before we go to the signing here on stage, Kermit with a sonic screwdriver. Oh, yeah, Kermit with a sonic screwdriver and a fist. Kermit who or Dr. Kermit? Well, it's his personal style.
Yeah, it's his personal sonic screwdriver, his own design.
Oh, a bow tie. Very, very good. All right, so thank you very, very much. It was a great panel with you. And now we go over to the signing right here on stage. Also, wenn irgendjemand tatsächlich jetzt ein Buch von ihm signiert haben möchte, das machen wir jetzt genau hier on stage. Weil, wie gesagt, eigentlich hätte er jetzt drüben Signierstunde gehabt, das machen wir jetzt. Wenn ihr kein Buch habt, ihr könnt es hier kaufen, das Variant. Und ja, ansonsten bedanke ich mich bei euch für eure Aufmerksamkeit und ich bedanke mich bei unserem wunderbaren Gast. So, Roger, please. I think we take this table for the signing. Also, wer was signiert haben möchte, wer was kaufen möchte, bitte anstellen hier kurz und dann alles. Wir kriegen das gut hin.
Ich wollte mal sagen, ich finde die Videos, die du machst, echt cool. Und
Danke, danke dafür. Danke, dass du es anschaust.
Immer wieder. Also ich bin zwar erst bei Folge 5 eingestiegen, aber ich habe mir jetzt angehört. Jedes Mal ganz toll, danke.
Super, vielen Dank.
Kein Thema. Kein
dafür machen, damit ihr Freude habt. Das ist natürlich schön, wenn man das auch mal hört.
Ja klar, danke. Deswegen sag's.
Hi, grüß dich.
Alles gut?
Ja, kann ich nicht genug beklagen.
Alles hervorragend. Es ist sehr cool, dass ihr hier so viel macht auch.
Ja.
Ich habe dir den Media geschrieben gehabt.
Ja.
Also, wenn du Bock hast, also kann 1 und 2 kann ich auch in einer guten Zeit tut dir so aus.
Ja.
Und ja, Montag bin ich ja wieder in Hamburg. Und von daher, ja, wir können eigentlich was zuschicken. Also,
genau. Dann machen wir das einfach und du überlegst dir mal gern, was du dafür gerne haben möchtest.
Mhm. Okay.
Und schreib mir das und dann packe ich dir das ein und schicke dir das und dann kannst du mir.
Alles klar.
Ja?
Alles klar.
Sollen wir so
gern
machen?
Sehr gerne. Ne?
Hallo.
Dann hast du auch mal die drei.
Ja. Hab ich jetzt dann nicht lange drauf achten müssen.
So gibt es
auch
manchmal.
Ja,
ne?
Finde ich gut.
Okay.
Super, vielen Dank.
actually.
Danke fürs Zuhören. Wir sehen uns auf der nächsten Leipziger Buchmesse.